Oh, they're not good. I'm really worried about Mahalapu Valley. You know, that big dairy. They just rolled out the draft EIS, and all that manure, over 2 million pounds in that valley going to the ocean down the stream.
Oh, you don't need to worry, Bridget. Hawaii Dairy Farms told us they're going to be grass-fed, they're using a New Zealand model, and most importantly, they're going to be zero discharge.
Oh, no. Eileen, if you read the draft EIS, that has changed. They're not going to be zero discharge. They now admit they're going to pollute and put nitrates and phosphorus into the stream and into the ocean. And on the grass-fed, that's gone too. And most importantly, 7 days before they put out that draft EIS, they took into the department 27 major changes. They're not even going to use the New Zealand model anymore.
Oh, that's not Pono.
And people don't know it because it's not part of the draft EIS.
How am I going to comment on it then?
Well, I suggest you come to the Friends of Mahalapu meeting July 14th from 4 to 9 p.m. at Kaloa Neighborhood Center. Or, if you forget, go to friendsofmahaulepu.org, M-A-H-A-U-L-E-P-U. Or you can always call us 742-1037.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
One, two, three, four.
None of us are free. None of us are free.
of chain. None of us are free.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. None of us are free if one of us are chained. How about that? And I guess we're all on a short chain lately. You know, short fuse, short chain. And there's a couple of things that we'll be talking about. I wanted to share with you about border water supply and in the next hour, in the first part of it, we're going to have, I should say we're fortunate to have Dr. John Kilpatrick, an economic person or economist, a real estate appraiser, and some very interesting information. And what he does is investigate the impacts of industries or businesses or what have you on communities. And this is stemming from the dairy over on Kauai. The people brought him in, and very interesting. So I think it's insightful, and talking about the impacts and the economic impacts and many things. So you might want to listen in on that, and if not, you can catch it later. It'll be posted at carolcox.com. And you can go on Facebook at Carol Cox and look at some of the things we do. But you can go now to KWAI1080AM.com. Listen to the show live in case you're having some static on your radio or the cat ran by and knocked the plug out of, you know, whatever. But we are reachable any way you want it now, you know. And I'm sure there's a couple things there that it was rather interesting on my way in, and I couldn't help but overhear the conversation about Charles Barkley and the bullets, and the caller had was a wealth of knowledge, if you were to dare classify it as knowledge. But I heard just something. I just thought, wow, what a waste of airtime, good radio on a Sunday morning. You know, make statements and then say to the radio host, go look it up. Go look it up. How about Charles Barkley? He's a black guy that says things, you know. And go look it up. Well, this is why we are in this quagmire. Because people that don't give a damn about black people or anything else all of a sudden want to teach us how we should act, and they won't listen to us, so you know, and then there's this thing about bullets. You know, oh yeah, it blows a hole to you through this and that. Bullets, the theory and the science behind it is about energy dissipating in the target. Let's keep in mind, many of these weapons are designed for warfare and gathering for food and what have you, but the idea is to simply You want the energy to dissipate and radiate through the body to immobilize it. That's why they designed the 45 caliber. As a result, people were being shot with other bullets in warfare, and the caliber was traveling too fast or too soft and no energy. We remember the 357 Python? That was a man's gun, but the amount of energy, it would pass through the target so fast that it was the immobilization. And I don't mean to shock you with that, but I just thought I would offer that to these people that want to boast about a black man who played for the NBA, and you know what the NBA was before black people were allowed to go. So it's always comical and very entertaining to hear those that purport to be caring about the social ills immediately strike out and go, "You black folk, and you're shooting one another, and hell, we don't want to die at anybody's hand." But the way it is the way it is. Caller, go ahead with your comment.
Hello.
Yes.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, good morning. You got a buzz in the background. What you got there?
Next to my radio.
Okay, yeah. Step away from the... Well, go ahead. We got it managed now.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I moved the radio. I'm on a speakerphone. I'm further away. You know, correct me if I'm wrong. They keep making statistics that black people get shot. It's normal for the population, but population is black. It's only at 16%, isn't it? Something like that?
If it was just one black person on this planet, that he would have a right to be here. And so for me personally, I don't engage in these numbers because they're the accuracy of them, and then who's generating these so-called studies. And I would trust a guy with a name like Huckabee from Arkansas to tell me about facts.
Yeah, right.
Right? Is that your sister or is that your girlfriend?
Yeah.
You know, I would trust people like that, you know. They have their own social ills and woes, and they're killing one another. And, you know, the Ku Klux Klan is not a fallacy. It's a reality.
Right.
The kids in Mississippi going down to, first of all, strike up an interest in people to register to vote, and they get killed. So they were probably bad because they didn't know their place and their manners. But let's go back before that. Why weren't they there? Because there were injustices that people don't want to talk about.
So when you talk about statistics, you know them because you've experienced this.
Yeah.
People have not experienced this, and they come off the wall. You know, opinions and misguidance, whatever they are,
yeah. But
they just don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm concerned with America. Quoting, paraphrasing. I'm concerned with America. America's getting to be a bad place, you know. And if you've listened to the Carol Cox Show, we've already long time acknowledged that America has been bad from even when they introduced the Patriot Act. We as African Americans knew about the Patriot Act before we became patriots.
Yeah.
You know, you understand? So we could get stopped, frisked, and broken down, and shot, and killed, and dunked, and thrown in the river with chains on our necks, and say, and all that is that ever comes of it is that, see there, when they recover our bodies, see there, another black man try to steal more chain than he can use. You understand?
Couldn't swim at all.
But just goes to show you. So when people start to talk about facts and stats,
their agenda makes their facts wrong, because their agenda is to prove something that is so outrageous it doesn't make any sense when you're a common man and you look at it like, wait a minute,
but
just because this, that, and the other, instead of shoot somebody?
But you look at the uniqueness of the American racism today, and that is they're able to conveniently and overtly compartmentalize or pigeonhole certain individuals. So you can shoot African Americans and just gun them down on TV. Well, okay, fine. we don't know what happened before that. Okay, but let's start back from the beginning. What? Why did you say you stopped him? What was that about, a broken tail light? You know, so
any excuse for a black man, some cop loves that idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I hate to say that, but that's human nature. Because remember, America was built on slavery. People don't understand that.
Let's
go back to our history. The white history, bringing people from other countries to use as workhorses.
But here, let's go back. What I was trying to finish up was is that they compartmentalize and they can selectively. And while it's clear, as an African American, I'm not paranoid. I'm not schizophrenic. I'm not sitting here believing that somebody in a white shirt, or white cap, or white gown, or sheet might come and torch my house. I know that to be a reality. So, secondly, but while they're just overtly discriminating and practicing hatred, then you have a presidential candidate suggesting that we start targeting other individuals because, right?
Right.
So these people, it's to be expected that they will offer some BS for, quote, statistics, and you know what about statistics, you can shape them to come out your results, right?
Right.
But if you're in the mode of calling radio shows and out talking the host, and then offer some crap like, "Well, go look it up." And I'm just fascinated. You can tell the core of a racist, and they may not know it, but it's clear when they go, "Well, look at Charles Barkley. Listen, you read his report. The president of the United States, his report was, his speech was horrible." Blah, 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 you compare. You know, who cares to compare, right?
Because with that, as being a black man, I disrespect him for even opening his mouth and saying stuff like that.
Well, he only serves, and I'll say this, if you were sitting here next to me, he's only serving to perpetuate hatred. And hatred doesn't stop just with black people. So that's the third arm of this, that everybody's saying, well, poor black people. Guys, if anybody is impacted wrongfully and unjustly, you should damn well worry. Ask the Jewish population.
Yeah.
Ask the Croatian. Ask.
Anybody that's a minority.
Right.
Watch out.
So, you know, and really, only a few people, you know, when we turn around and say the whites or the white cops, that's not true. It's not the all white cops. Let me tell you something. To say that all policemen and all white people are hating blacks or shooting a black, that's a damn lie that is never true. It's so far from the truth. And all black people are hated by white people. That's also untrue. But here's what we do have. In police work, they won't admit that there's this club, the Blue Club. They won't admit that.
Right.
But we know that, okay? And not because some want to be a part of the club. It's just that if you step and speak out against the club, your ass is grass.
You're blackballed.
Well, you subsequently end up being ousted or being set up or what have you. You understand?
Oh, I understand that one.
So it's a reality, and so to say that all white cops are this, but here's something that we tend to overlook. You get in as an African-American, as a Latino, or as an ex-basketball player who was about as, what he's only noted for is talking like he just fell off a cotton truck, and then now he's gotten smart because he got money and did an underarm deodorant commercial, right?
Yeah,
now that qualifies him to sit back, and I think his name was Sir Charles Barkley, as we were. And it's like, why don't you just enjoy your retirement and make your money and sit there and tell us how the black man goes to the basketball hoop and stuff that ball down there, but in just years before that, you couldn't even get a job mopping the floor.
Right.
You understand?
Yeah.
So when people come out, I understand what he's attempting to say, but don't lend yourself to stupidity and hatred and then knowing that
you're on the fire.
Well, you know that when you make comments like this, there are those out there who will pick up the phone call. See, there's a black guy.
There you go. And that just justifies everything that's happened.
Yeah.
There's no other parameter to say, yeah, I'm a brass man, and I'm telling you how it is.
Yeah.
You ought to be shot.
Yeah. Dr. Martin Luther King marching down the street with garbage workers and refuse workers and what have you, and nurses and all. If you listen to Charles Barkley and the likes of him, all of those people, Medgar Evers, who got murdered in his driveway, they were just, black people killing one another. Why don't we speak to that, too? You're damn right we should speak to that. But you should not lend yourself as fodder for bigoted white people, bigoted black people, and that's the other point. So when they hire officers, a lot of black guys in police work can be worse than your nightmare of a out-of-control rogue cop that is white. Because he got to prove himself. He's been told all of his life, you got to work double hard to show them that you're better than them. See, it's all that nonsense that they fill our heads with. That why can't I just show up and work and be proficient and effective and productive? And why can't that just be? Right?
Well, they got to keep adding on to make it so there's parameters that they have to reach.
Exactly.
To see where they're at. And it's a cop-out, as far as I'm concerned. If you're an officer, you're supposed to be colorblind and enforce the law.
Yeah, you respect the law.
Right.
I mean, who amongst us will be wanting to get up out of bed and run to your neighbor's house to protect your neighbor when there's some shots fired or what have you? This is what the police do. They do things that the average human being would just melt.
Yeah.
And so why should they be hated? Why should they be berated? Why should they be disliked and disrespected? But we don't disrespect in black communities. The law enforcement there will actually be there, but then start with the mayors and the city councils and ask them, why are you not giving enough monies for these communities to have police?
Each property.
Right?
Yeah.
But instead, so they fail to do that, and they divert the money to some other location and to keep blacks out of certain communities. You understand? So yeah. That being the case, that's a prime climate for someone to come along and say, well, you see, there's more crime in the black community than there.
I'm going to say something. It's just a racist disease. Well, it's just another nigger.
Yeah.
The human life of a black person is like 16% of white man or something.
Yeah, and it's, no one want to grow up being threatened, but it's a reality, folks. I don't even like conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
Theorist, but my concern is that when reality knocks, and then I have a chorus going, well, that's not true. More black people kill than cops kill. Wait, whoa, stop. They're wrong, and you're doubly wrong, because you see, over here, there's many factors that come into play that exacerbate matters. Over here, we have an institution that is supposed to be guarding against that and protecting us against that and moving forward to ensure that nobody's rights are violated, nobody is murdered. You follow?
Right.
So how do we jump the bridge, cross that, and then start? Well, in Chicago, there's more black killing, black on black crime. Well, then you need to ask, where is that federal money's going to? And you need to ask, is the war on drugs working? Because you seem to be getting millions for it every year, and you seem to be wearing black gloves and black this and black that. And
the jails are full.
Right?
That's all it counts. The jails are full.
Yeah, so imagine all of that, right? And their statistics says, they do more drugs, and they're likely to... Wait, Right now, most people in communities in New Hampshire and those areas on the outlying, the urban suburbs, right, they're now realizing that there are many of them, and they knew this all along, but they were taking prescription drugs, Oxycontin and other opiates, right? And now, all of a sudden, that's too expensive, so they're gravitating to heroin. And when I lived in Gary, Indiana, and lived in Chicago, in Washington, D.C., and you see this these kids coming in, and people with fancy cars, and they're stopping along at the red light and buying drugs from, you come into the inner city, right, into the ghetto, and to buy the drugs and go back to the
West Coast.
Right?
Yeah.
And then in turn, do you ever hear about them being shot up? No. So, you know, but there is, someone said it's a debate. It's not a debate when you, there's the Alan West, who, there's the Lee Elders. I heard him talking on radio.
Oh, that guy is bad.
And
black man, I'll tell you.
Brain cells or something, something's not working right. When you take a basketball player and then you try to position that basketball player to the president of these United States who has a college degree, right? Didn't get it because he was an athletic, but he was an academic, right?
Right.
And that he has give you the image of, look at the stability, right? Has a wife, has children, addressing the world problem. But you see, he didn't have his lapel pin on when he did that. So, you know, he, you know, and Obama, he said this about, he didn't mention the cops, and he mentioned the black people in the speech. But did you hear what George Bush said? You know, this kind of, and this is supposed to be an intelligent debate in the discussion.
The fact is so misconstrued.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't see it, it's their background that makes them keep beating this stuff up like it's, you know, candy. Oh, this is the right thing. Yeah, we're right and you're wrong.
Right. Well, keep in mind, and this is the bloody truth here, so those of you that don't like to hear this, I appreciate you listening in, and it's okay. I wouldn't know if I hurt your feelings or enlighten you, but facts are facts. See, in the South, for example, it's a known fact that it is stated amongst black men, every black man needs a good white man in his pocket. You know why? Because if you get jailed or you get threatened, you call Mr. Joe Rogers, and Mr. Rogers, you're his best tractor driver, or you worked on, you delivered, you know, his cotton to the gin on time, and you're dependable, right? Or it's in the middle of the planting season. So, and this is not me saying this. These are things that America won't admit. And so and even when I became a special agent, I was told by another black person who was successful in the agency to say, well, see that, you see that white man there? He's a good white man, and you make sure you need him in your pocket, right?
Yeah.
So you can see what's supposed to be freedom and what's supposed to be you go and get an education and you...
My man in my pocket.
Right. You understand. And so when people come out and just pick pieces and then going to have a so-called discussion or debate, is it really a legitimate, is it really honesty, or is it just a perpetuation of racism and bigotry? What really is going on? But these are the real truth. And so why would a black man need a white man in his pocket, so to speak? Why?
Because he's threatened.
Because obviously, the structure in America, in the South.
Yeah, breathe that.
Now, when we move to the North, we hear the same thing. Black men will tell younger black men, those that are, you see here, he's going to have to learn to dance. He's going to have to learn to do that dance. You understand?
He holds one hand one time, he holds another hand the other time.
Right, and so... unless America admit to, and these people that come in want to talk about the Charles Barkleys and all those people, then the reality is own up to the nonsense and know your history and know the inner workings and know what crud really is between your toes and between your fingers and in your mind, then if you get past that, you might have a chance.
You understand what's going on.
Yeah, you might. But
right.
But if you delve in the crud and you don't know half of what you're talking about and you tell people, well, go look it up. Well, wait, whoa, stop. You don't play with open gasoline containers around fire. You don't take situations such as this and fan the flames because unless you get the pleasure of it or you just...
Right, there you go.
Right?
Pleasure, yeah. The satisfaction of, like, you're better than they.
Yeah. But these are things that America knows and they won't admit. And these are the types of things that, you know, the president of these United States, President Barack Hussein Obama, he got in through a democratic process, right? But as soon as he got in, even before he got in, they were striking him down. And then while in, they were striking him down. So what are they really trying to do when you hear it from the same course? You know, when Martin was shot, well, see, shouldn't have had any Skittles in his pocket. The man didn't ask him for any candy. He shouldn't have been there. I believe the guy, right? You know, and on and on and on. But going back to these initial contacts are based on, well, we saw the tail light out. You didn't make a left turn. So should something graduate or escalate itself into that? Where is the police containment? Right? So what does that say? The system, the institution allows that and projects. And so he knows that the average process, the normal process is that if there's a guy gets shot and he didn't throw his right signal, and the next thing you know, the police is put on administrative leave, if so, with pay, and maybe, but you don't know anything about the policeman, but boy, you should see what they do to show how many times this guy's been arrested, but what does that have to do with him being shot for failing to throw a signal and not move his hands fast enough?
Yeah, just because his past maybe changed, he got
killed. Hold on 1 second. Caller, go ahead with your comment or question.
Good morning, sir.
Yes.
I was just wondering, is how come when Black Americans look at history, we're not allowed to have a history, but the Jews can have the Holocaust. They can have all the memorial war from all over the world. They have Korean War memorials, Vietnam. Everybody seems to be able to acknowledge their history, but as soon as it comes to Black Americans, all of a sudden, especially the male, but I won't even get into how the female was treated right now, and the children, but every time we try to address history, which leads back to slavery, not because we said come in and slave us, and
mm-hmm.
It seems like the unwritten word is that we created slavery for ourselves. We created the way we was treated. We said abuse us, rape our women. It's like we told them to do everything they're doing, and like we just begged them to do it. And then when it was supposed to be slavery ended, it never ended technically.
Right.
Jim Crow started. Then the Klan. See, the whole police thing, it was never created to protect us. If I look deep enough into it, I'll find out that when it was created, it wasn't created for us. Just like the first time they wrote slavery out of the Constitution, they had to go back and rewrite it in.
Mm-hmm.
It was written out, then they wrote it back in. So, and then they would keep changing the laws to fit our oppression and our re-enslavement. And then the last thing is, they've been killing Black men for hundreds of years with no repercussions.
Well, they graduated from...
And what they're doing now, they Now they're just getting caught a little bit.
On many occasions, if you look back at lynchings or look in the photographs around lynchings, and you'll find there were policemen there participating and on crowd control and traffic control, right? And so they would, in fact, many occasions, you can read many of the stories where he was in the custody of the police or the sheriff. And somehow he ended up being a Christmas ornament.
Yeah.
You understand?
One more. Mr. Sir,
I'll go ahead.
One I have never been able to even mention. This whole thing of hate crimes. Black people is at the top of the list for hate crimes. But it doesn't apply to us. Isn't that strange? The way they hate us every day of my life.
Mm-hmm.
The hatred from all the different cultures.
Well,
every single day. But yet, when is there ever going to be laws to protect us?
Well, they're there. They can selectively. I can tell you that the Attorney General's office here refused to do an investigation of my house being bombed. I've yet to be interviewed by the police department here. So when I hear people talking about Charles Barkley and this and that and how great he is, but a genius like Barack Obama, the American dream product of it, you don't like him. He's a threat. But let me go back to one thing I share with you. We can start, if you want to see what racism and the silliness and where all of this comes from, we, as slaves, as African Americans or black, you know, or whatever you want to call us, we graduated from something. But we were, why would you go to a continent and collect people and then enslave them to do the work in the fields and raise your children and do all of that and then turn around and call them lazy and shiftless?
And hate them. Here's another thing, this whole hate crimes thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Why would you hate somebody because of their skin or the way they look? I mean, just hate them just because the way they look different from you. But yet, all that hate crimes. If you heard a transgender person, here comes the hate crimes.
Right.
But what about the hate crimes that's perpetrated on us every single day?
But you can't
even go spend money without a hate crime being perpetrated.
But they block and bridge that. You see, when they get a chance to talk about it, they decide to, let's skirt the issue. And let's talk about this. Let's talk about Chicago people killing one another. Let's talk about black-on-black crime, right? So, in other words, they're saying, to hell with reality, to hell with this. Yes, it's wrong for blacks to be killing blacks. I wish I could find a magic pill and illegally or legally give it to all people so they wouldn't kill one another. I wish I could do that. But the reality is there's so many factors that influence that, and I personally don't like Chicago anyway.
And one more thing, sir. They never weigh the statistics correctly. They don't let us know how many black men get killed in prison as opposed to how many get killed in the civilian world or in the military.
Mm-hmm.
See, we don't have a Brookings Institution.
No, but if we
know
did,
what I mean?
If we
don't
did,
have in, what they call them think tanks that create policy for special interests. We are not a special interest in this country.
Well, look at the media. The media, you see, they'll have one or two black commentators there, but then you'll have the elitist whites that are sitting there talking, and then they'll even bring in some British and some others with accents and sit there and then begin to explore and tell us why the African-American is having such a hard experience. They need to assimilate. You know, really? Well, your country is boiling over, and apparently it's about race and hatred and Brexit and all of that too, right? So
yeah,
we need to fix.
When those real professionals really talk about white supremacy and institutional racism, those particular, like on Charlie Rose, there was a deep discussion about that. On Tom Hartman, whenever there's a white person who really wants to tell the truth, it's so minute that you hear it, that, you know, it's like you don't hear it. It's like a drain drop dropping into the ocean.
Like a
but
whisper.
They do exist. But here's the thing. They don't want us. They bring up black-on-black crime. That does not excuse what the police, which means the government, is doing. Why should the government be our enemy? The government is the enemy.
Well, why would we have an FBI to investigate Martin Luther King when he's being projected as a communist, but in reality he's saying, get your foot off my throat and my people's throat and other people that are the less fortunate? Why do we have that? So, you know, at this point, I'm dismayed at how professional people, I would say, the average person need to just chill out and go back to the center line and say, look, all of these people complaining, and then they got video now and all of that, and there's still a debate? We need to just fix it. We don't need a jury. We have the evidence. Let's assemble it and act accordingly.
If you want to hear something, Tom Hartman yesterday on the 17th, you listen to Tom Hartman yesterday, it will blow your mind, because that's the real dialogue that's supposed to be national. White people have to own up to what they did. Was they committed so much crime against us to present day that we shouldn't even have to ask them for reparations.
But let me say something, and this is what I this is not an objection to you or anything, but this is where I think we should go with this. Be very careful to say and be articulate when we speak about, when we say white people, you know, because there were many whites that were in the abolitionist movement. There were many whites that objected to. And so we owe ourselves that as well as a humanity, and then start looking for the fleas and call them exactly what they are and go at them and speak out.
I got you. Listen, I know there's white people who grew up with black people.
But even if they didn't
and
grow up,
they heard them speak. You couldn't tell them apart.
But they see, we shouldn't attack.
They can use the word nigger. Wait a minute. They could use the word nigger. But guess what? It does not mean nigger when they use it.
Yeah, but this is goes deeper than this. What I'm saying is that to come back, sit back and project on all white people doesn't say much for our thinking and our commitment to resolving this, because we're just as foul-mouthed as they are, those that want to pick a select black guy who stands out. There's a sheriff in Milwaukee, and you know, I mean, the things that he said, you're a sheriff. You should refrain from any kind of remarks, because if one person, regardless of how they kill, if it was a black-on-black crime in Milwaukee, then you as a sheriff ain't worth a damn, because that was a crime committed, and you couldn't handle it, and you couldn't prevent it, so you need to just go back to the cotton fields and stop serving your purpose. As eloquent as he tries to present himself, the bottom line is, you fail to protect all of the citizens. And I know it was a black guy that pulled the trigger, and the black guy that got shot was black, but that doesn't excuse you as a sheriff, and we all should draw the conclusion that you ain't worth a damn as a sheriff and enforcement, because you failed. Right?
Sir, but no one was protecting us for hundreds of years.
Well, we
hundreds.
But again, hold on 1 second. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments.
Thank you for taking my call. One of the most leading expertise, social critic, altruistic person is Cornel West. Don't have his books in front of me, but Politics of Conversion is what we need right now. Politics of power never used politics without real transformation. We need transformation.
Mm-hmm.
We should have morality as the heart of our debate. What is happening is you've got self-serving ideological purposes on behalf of both, whether you call them Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, makes no difference. social justice versus moral rejuvenation, wing hand or whatever you want to call them. And very significantly, I think, he said, and the Jim Wallace, Cornel West, many, many others, stop ideological warfare for the sake of our children.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the answer. Now, how you get the power to control the culture that he's espousing, I don't know.
Who is Byron De La Beck with?
Byron De La Beck.
Beckwith. Remember that one of the racist guys that shot up civil rights people?
Oh,
and,
no,
you know, Medgar Evers. See,
if you could give me a reference, I might be able to.
No, I mean, he was a shooter in one of gunning down, you know. So what I'm saying is that at some point, we need to just step back and say that we have a racist climate here in America. And all of the detractors, when we struggle to climb out of this hole, we don't need, and in a simplistic way, because I appreciate your way you phrase it and all, but the reality is many of us are not going to get a chance to go off to college and read, but what we need today is the separation of ignorance, stupidity, and commitment to making America better. And what I mean by better is that eliminate many of these things that they're unnecessary. And we don't need to see people being shot on the street, whether they're policemen or innocent people or even the criminals. You, in this system, supposedly, you are innocent, you know, until proven guilty, and the policeman can't be delving out punishments, right?
The problem seems to be multi-generational.
Yeah.
And it is ideology. It is a clash of mentalities. To oversimplify that, you will not solve the problem until, for example, Sunni and Shia and the Persian versus an Arab. And how long ago this, when did it begin? What are we in right now? There are comparisons that are so apparent. It's not, it's ideology, and the people that suck. Your reality is a dead child at burnt church, people being strangled and shot, whatever the truth might be. That's the consequences of our ideological conflict.
Right, but again, it's all of our problems.
Yes.
Right, and then I think, you know, I hear other minority groups say, you know, the black people are really the black, and well, you just wait your turn. In fact, you don't have to wait your turn. Sit down and let me talk to you and show you where you maybe. I hear here often in Hawaii, and if it's true to our words, maybe there's some commonalities in that you don't have a country. Maybe that you have people here, as you describe it, the military has overthrown your queen, and maybe you and maybe you're bringing a lot of people in displacing you, and maybe you understand, but then you turn and say, but you black people really being discriminated. No, I think if you it's a lonely world only to say that when you hear others that are being impacted just as negatively based on their social status or their standings or their race, and then if we learn that all of us are being impacted when there's an injustice or an unjust treatment.
That famous quote, I don't know who said it, but one, Hitler came for the shopkeepers, then he came for the Jews, and then he came for the homosexuals, and then he came for you.
Well, you know, we if you listen way back, I've said to you, it's no shock, and it would get worse. I think back in 2008, I was talking about all of this and saying, trying to share with you. But there's something to be said about all of this. And, you know, and real quick, I was talking about, and I don't like to do this, but I was going to be talking about a bit of it anyway. But you know, this thing, the guy called up and talked about bullets and what have you. And it's like, you know, come on. If you don't know what you're talking about, don't argue with someone and tell them they don't know because you know and you're both off base or not accurate. And this is, and who cares, right? Talk about how to get along with someone, right?
Well, each person wishes to enhance themselves in their own way.
But how do that, but they don't give their name. They don't email me a picture so I can post it up and say, here's a real man. I guess that's why the Ku Klux Klan put a sheet over the head, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I've always questioned the Klansmen. I mean, the rest of the world has so many pleasant things to do under a sheet, but look what they do. They go around burning houses.
I'm trying to throw in philosophy a priori, but this means you're born with it. All right. If you believe that, then you have fatalism. There has to be something more than that.
Well, we're going to have to...
But man is good. Man is not evil.
Yeah. Well, I hate to say we got to go, but we got to go. And we're down to the last. And the next...
Thank you, Pop.
All right. Thank you, guys. We'll talk again.
Yeah, thank you for everything.
All right. Okay, guys. We'll be right back. And we're going to have Dr. John Kilpatrick talking about economic impacts of a dairy. And we're going to listen to what he has to say, and we'll be back shortly.
I've been around a while. I know wrong from right. Learned a long time ago. Things ain't always black and white. Just like you can't judge a book by the cover, we all got to be careful how we treat one another. Skin deep, skin deep, underneath, we all the same. Skin deep, skin deep.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
Oh, Town Boy. Protect your ride. If you know something about a car theft, call us at 1-800-TELL-NICB. Good dog. A public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
Hi, Bridget.
Hey, Eileen.
How are things?
Oh, they're not good. I'm really worried about Mahalapu Valley. You know, that big dairy. They just rolled out the draft EIS and all that manure, over 2 million pounds in that valley going to the ocean down the stream.
Oh, you don't need to worry, Bridget. Hawaii Dairy Farms told us they're going to be grass-fed, they're using a New Zealand model, and most importantly, they're going to be zero discharge.
Oh, no. Eileen, if you read the draft EIS, that has changed. They're not going to be zero discharge. They now admit they're going to pollute and put nitrates and phosphorus into the stream and into the ocean. And on the grass-fed, that's gone too. And most importantly, 7 days before they put out that draft EIS, they took into the department 27 major changes. They're not even going to use the New Zealand model anymore.
Oh, that's not Pono.
And people don't know it because it's not part of the draft EIS.
How am I going to comment on it then?
Well, I suggest you come to the Friends of Mahalapu meeting July 14th from 4 to 9 p.m. at Kaloa Neighborhood Center. Or, if you forget, go to friendsofmahaulepu.org, M-A-H-A-U-L-E-P-U. Or you can always call us 742-1037.
Aloha, Eileen.
Hi, Bridget. Hey, I've been reading Hawaii Dairy Farms draft EIS, and it says they're going to bring over 699 cows. I heard, though, that they were pregnant.
They are, Eileen. We just take the testimony of the farm manager, Jim Garmitz. He said they have to be pregnant to make milk.
When are they going to give birth?
Within 15 days, all the keiki will come.
Whoa, that's going to take a lot of people.
They only have 5 full-time farm jobs here. They have 8 full-time jobs in Honolulu. But you know what? There's 2,618 jobs in the South Shore, and that odor and the biting flies, they're going to affect jobs terribly. And only for $51,000 a year county revenue.
Hey, I heard that they need a permit before they start construction.
They do. It's called a general stormwater construction permit. But our lawyer established last week in that testimony that the farm manager put down application facts that are false, and he signed under oath.
Well, how am I going to comment?
Come to our meeting at the Neighborhood Center July 14th between 4 and 9 p.m. And if you forget, go to our website, friendsofmahaulepu, MAHAULEPU.org, or call 742-10.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Starting here, as I had promised you, we have Dr. John Kilpatrick, and he's an economist and appraiser, real estate appraiser, working for Greenfield Advisors. And Dr. Kilpatrick, are you there?
No, this is another caller.
Okay, hold on. I lost Dr. Kilpatrick. We'll try and get him back. Anyway, Dr. Kilpatrick is he's with Greenfield Advisors, and what they do is do appraisals and assessments and economic impacts review and look at them as to what businesses will be impacted, communities, and I'll try to patch him in again.
I think we got
yes. Good morning, Doctor. Dr. Kilpatrick.
How are you?
Fine. I'm just fine. Just trying to get some of the buttons going on here. And thank you for calling. And I won't take up much of your time. And thanks for the last minute notice that I appreciate you responding. But can you introduce yourself? And I'm interested in sharing with the listeners some of the economic impacts that you are looking to review and identify. Review and identify and assess there of the Hawaii Dairy Farms proposed dairy or manufacturing plant of milk. Can you
sure.
go ahead?
Well,
and
I appreciate the opportunity to come on your show and share some of what I've been sharing first at a public meeting on the night of the 14th, as well as with some of the public officials here in Kauai.
Mm-hmm.
I'm head of, or I guess my title is co-managing director of Greenfield Advisors. We are a global real estate consulting firm. We happen to be headquartered in Seattle, but we have several offices around the country. I'm a PhD in financial economics. I'm a practicing economist, but I'm also a licensed real estate appraiser. And in fact, I'm a licensed appraiser here in Hawaii. This is not my first time appraising property in Hawaii, and in fact, I have appraised the property that this proposed feedlot is going to go on. Did it, I guess, about 6 or 8 years ago. I'm very familiar with real estate on Kauai. Very familiar with the economy here. And many, many years ago, I started studying the impact of these feedlots on property values, surrounding property values. So that's what I was asked to come in and share with the community over the past several days.
The community that is raising the opposition to this, is their efforts misplaced, or do they have a valid and bona fide, in your assessment, are these real threats from your standpoint as an appraiser and an economist and looking, how can you describe it? Are they on target?
Well, they are decidedly on target. And remember, I'm a real estate guy. I deal with property values and economics. But I can tell you in my experience, and I've looked at dozens of these things all over the United States and Canada, the real issue is the pollution. In this particular case, the manure. Cattle, once the feedlot is fully stocked, these cattle will be generating somewhere between 75 and 150 tons of manure per day.
Mm-hmm.
Those aren't my figures. That's straight out of the Environmental Protection Agency. This manure has to go somewhere, and as I understand, has been determined, there's a very high groundwater there. You are likely to have real problems with the drinking water in this area. In my experience, you're going to have problems with odors, with dust, with blowing flies, biting flies, blowing off of the manure piles.
Mm-hmm.
And these are going to be scattered for quite a few miles over what is presently a pristine ecology. You have many, many people living in this area. And, of course, you've got tourism in this area, which is a big driver of the Kauai economy.
Mm-hmm.
All of that's going to be affected by this.
Now,
yes, these folks who are in opposition to this feedlot are spot on with their concerns.
Mm-hmm. Now, the question is, can you describe the realistic devaluation? Is there a threat? I hear them talking that this is going to reduce the value or impact the value of their homes. And then I heard you talking about a portion of this, and that not only will it impact them and their value of their homes and devaluing, but it will have a rippling effect in other communities. Can you describe that in the tax benefit and tax
loss?
Well,
it's pretty simple math, really. You right now have a big chunk of the property tax base for the county in this area, in the immediate vicinity of this feedlot. Those properties devalued as much as 50%.
Mm-hmm.
And so the county is going to see a shortfall in tax collections from these properties. You know, there's something like $3 billion worth of real estate in this affected area.
Mm-hmm.
So as those properties go down in value, the county has to balance its budget somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And if you owned a home way up at the north end of the island in Princeville, for example, you would see your property taxes going up to compensate for the property tax damage that's being done here on the south end of the island.
Mm-hmm. And I was looking at your YouTube and your presentation that you made before that community, and quite interesting. You talked about Ellsberg, and you talked about in Washington, and what caught my eye was the one about the apples, the apple farm that was impacted from a distance. Can you share that with our listeners as to the reality of these things, and because the community is being accused of blowing this out of proportion and yelling wolf when there are no wolves. Can you share with us?
These are, and by the way, it's not just the apple orchard in Washington, which I'll tell you about in a moment,
mm-hmm.
but I've traveled all over the United States and consistently seen these problems. In the case of the apple orchard in near Ellensburg, Washington, we had, as you may be familiar, apples are grown in central Washington. The state of Washington is famous for Washington delicious apples. Well, someone put a feedlot upwind of one of these apple orchards. The flies carried manure on their feet. Now, that might not seem like a lot, but we're talking about lots and lots of flies. So these flies went to the apple orchard, landed on the fresh apples, and stained and ruined the apple crop. This apple orchard was a couple of miles away from the feedlot, but nonetheless, we determined that the apple orchard was diminished in value about 50% as a result of these flies, which were ruining the apple crops.
Mm-hmm.
And here we understand you're going to have not just a fly problem, but a biting fly problem. which is going to impact the ability of people to enjoy their homes, as well as impact the ability of tourism in the area to attract and keep tourists, which provides, I understand, about 2,600 jobs downwind of this feedlot.
Mm-hmm. So there are many things that caught my interest, but the talking about Shakti, there you talked about the chicken farm, and there is supposedly a reservoir, a holding pond for the manure up at the proposed dairy farm. And you've had a similar experience with holding ponds of holding contaminants, water, wastewater. What happened in that situation?
Well, that was down in Mississippi. Mm-hmm. That was in a town called Central Mississippi. There was a chicken plant, and all of the waste from the chickens went into this holding pond. Well, when the rainstorm came along, and of course, as you can guess, Mississippi has rainstorms just like Hawaii has rainstorms.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the rainstorm came along. It flooded the holding pond. The holding pond overflowed, and I was shown places as far as 5 miles away where waste from the holding pond had flowed into people's property. We were able to measure property value diminution as far as 11.5 miles away from that chicken plant in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. Now, given this proposed dairy here, you spoke about an economic impact study. Is there an economic impact study accompanying the draft environmental impact statement, or has the developer of this or the builder of this dairy, have they developed or prepared an economic impact study? And what would an economic impact study consist of?
Well, I haven't seen anything that resembles the sort of economic impact study with which I'm used to. And certainly I've helped prepare economic impact studies. I've examined economic impact studies in many development situations. What I've seen so far are some broad statements about how much additional this is going to do for the community. 4 jobs here on Kauai, 51,000 in additional tax revenue, which I understand is going to be offset by some actual tax credits. So that may very well not be a real number. But an economic impact study is also supposed to take into account any negative impacts, any mitigation associated with those negative impacts, what the developers plan to do to mitigate the impact of whatever it is they're planning. I've seen none of that, and particularly no attempts at economic mitigation of the harm they're going to cause. I haven't seen anything addressing property value impacts. I haven't seen anything addressing jobs impacts. I haven't seen anything addressing tourism impacts. And all of those are very real and need to be accounted for in an economic impact study.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to keep you if you got to go. I know that it was a short notice, but with this economic impact study, you talked about an externality, and you talked about environmental justice. I hear quite often that now this community that's leading the movement here against this dairy is being accused of being NIMBY. But environmental justice, will their efforts, if they are successful in stopping this, will others that are less fortunate and less economically set or stable, will they benefit?
Well, of course. And I commented about economic justice in my talk the other evening in response to a question and comment which came up. Oftentimes, economically disadvantaged people don't have a voice. They don't have a forum. They don't have the opportunity to speak to public officials, government officials. They don't get to come on the radio with somebody like you and talk about the harm that will be done to them. This sort of feedlot, the odors, the dust, the contaminants, the flies, they're going to affect poor people and middle-class people all the same. I mean, they're going to affect you regardless of your economic station in life. But and I don't see any benefits spilling from this thing to disadvantaged or lower ends of the economic spectrum. So, indeed, I think that stopping this or at least getting some mitigation out of this is going to benefit everybody at every stage of the economic spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Now, two things, and I'll let you go. When you talk about remediation or mediation or a remediation, can you explain to the listeners, if this pile of manure or the manure practice of this dairy is put in place, how will they remediate it?
I haven't heard, and I haven't seen anything. I can tell you that I wrote a pair of journal articles about feedlots for the Appraisal Journal, which is the official peer-reviewed publication of the Appraisal Institute. The one I wrote in 2015 had a section that dealt with mitigation attempts, where some of these feedlots around the country have attempted to do things like buy up surrounding real estate or do plantings or do manure control. Quite frankly, we haven't seen 100% success out of those attempts. In this particular case, we don't see anything. I don't see any proposals at all about how they're going to address the economic impacts or the environmental impacts. And I don't know of any attempts or any plans for an attempt at mitigation out of this thing.
And I noticed you talked about a mitigation where one farmer actually bought his own or paid for his own home.
Oh, you saw that. That was that was an interesting case. I believe it was in Nebraska.
Yes.
Where a feedlot was put in, and then a farmer down the road went to the county and requested a 30% reduction in property taxes. The county gave it to him, but the punchline for all of that is that the fellow who requested and got the property tax reduction was the same guy who had built the feedlot. So he admitted that his own feedlot had devalued his own home.
And we have here, this land is listed as an important agricultural land, and so this person then gets $600,000 tax break. So apparently it's part of the strategy, I guess. Is there any other information that you'd like to share with us in leaving it, or if you have to go? And then one of the things that caught my attention also was the Lake Huron. You talked about a 40,000, talking about the beach. You were an E. coli. So because we're seeing that the state health department refuses to post signs about the Waiopili, a stream that is going to be impacted by this, or potentially if it hadn't already been impacted. And the pathogens and E. coli and the bacteria in the soils on the beach, is that a reality? Is that a concern?
Well, it's certainly what I've observed around the country. Carol, you've got both airborne illnesses as well as waterborne pathogens.
Mm-hmm.
And the case that you're referring to, the Canadian government found that a cattle feedlot, not unlike what we have here, was spilling E. coli bacteria into Lake Huron. They ended up closing 40 kilometers of beach in Lake Huron, where they found that the contaminant level was 41,000% higher than allowable. So yes, you have both airborne, you have waterborne, you have bugs that transmit ailments and illnesses. All of these are things that I've observed as I've been studying these issues, studying the economics of these issues.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you that my understanding is that this particular feedlot is going to be using 3 million gallons of water a day. And that number, it's an astonishingly large number, but it's real from what I understand. That apparently comes from their own documents. 3 million gallons of water a day, and what the community is going to get for that is 75 to 150 tons of manure a day. So we take 3 million gallons of water that belongs to, I understand, the citizens of Kauai, and give them back 150 tons of manure. That does not seem to me to be a fair trade-off.
Wow. I was about to say it doesn't sound good, but it doesn't smell good.
It's not good.
Something doesn't smell good about this deal. But
that is a great pin to stick in the end of this thing, Carol.
Right. Now, in closing, giant farms shop nationally, and smaller farms shop locally. I that caught my attention as well, grabbed me. I'm curious to know, can you explain that? And I won't hold you any longer. I know you have to go.
Well, there's some studies that have been done by scholars in the field, other economists who look at these things. And by the way, almost all of the field, other economists who look at these things. And by the way, almost all of these studies come out of farm-friendly states. We're not talking about anti-farming. In fact, what they found is that these factory farms crowd out local smaller farmers. But if you're a local smaller farmer and you've got a small manageable herd of cattle or whatever it is that you're raising, you probably shop locally. If you've got to buy a shovel, you go down to the local Ace Hardware. If you're going to buy feed, you buy 50-pound bags of feed at the local feed and seed store. But if you've got one of these big feed lots where you have a couple of thousand head of cattle, you're not buying your feed at the local store.
Mm-hmm.
I actually watched one of these big factory farms. It happened to be a chicken farm, and they were hauling the feed in trucks from far away.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't bringing in 55-pound bags of feed. They're bringing in truckloads of feed that they've negotiated in big national contracts. There was a study, I want to say it was out of Pennsylvania, I may be wrong there, that found that communities with traditional farms have a 55% higher economic growth rate than communities with these big factory farms.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and we do have evidence, emails and communications internally from Ag and the dairy builder that they would be importing or seeking to import cassava ground powder or meal from Thailand. So that gives you an example. They're not going to be getting it from here locally.
Of course not. Well, now, I really appreciate you letting me come share this information with you and your listeners. And I appreciate the opportunity to come to Kauai. It is a very special place. The area in question, of course, is beautiful. It's environmentally one of the special places, not just on the islands, but in America, in the world for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
And it amazes me that somebody would propose to do something that's this economically and environmentally insensitive to such an environmentally important place.
Right. Well, thank you, Dr. Kilpatrick. I appreciate it. And again, Dr. Kilpatrick is with the Greenfield Advisors. And some of the work that I gleaned off of his presentation was that he's worked on the Exxon Valdez, the BP
yes.
spill, and go just a few more just to show that we're dealing with someone or listening to someone that has a track record of looking into these things, and it's not just a smokescreen.
Well, thank you very much, sir, and I'm going to have to head out the door now. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Aloha.
Aloha.
And 37.
Okay, guys. That was Dr. John Kilpatrick, and I saw that he was on the island of Kauai speaking about this, and I wanted to definitely reach out and grab a hold of him and share with you, because, you know, there's this discussion, not in our backyard, not here, not there, and the allegations, but these are real concerns. And unfortunately, what I really felt getting him on would help is that our state government, the Department of Agriculture and the State Health Department is in bed with these guys. They've been obstructionists, withholding emails and information and documents, and refusing to post signs when there's their own readings and testing show. So it's good, and I applaud the community there in that area at Mahaulepu and the Friends of Mahaulepu. And you can go to their website now, Friends of Mahaulepu, at HawaiianTel.net. FRIENDS of HawaiianTel.net. So thank you, and I see my board is lighted. It's Christmas time, and I think I got myself a nice gift coming here with some of the brothers who want to go back and talk about some of the Black Lives Matter. I'm sure that's it. And so join in if you like to, guys, and caller, thanks for waiting so long. Go ahead with your comment or questions. Yes. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments or questions.
Hello.
Yes.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I don't know the difference between Mississippi River bottom dirt and Waikiki sand, but this program you just had is absolutely excellent. Thank you so very, very much for giving this expert the voice to give information and education to us out here. And I just throw in a word, Gestalt, that whatever they're doing affects everything and everybody in every conceivable way, and we can't let them get away with it. Thank you so very much, Mr. Cox.
Ever so watchful. Thank you. Aloha. Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comments or questions.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hi, yeah. I know you don't think anybody cares, but I don't like to be called wrong on the air. Essentially, as far as the bulletin thing.
Stop for a minute. Hold on. You can have as much time as you want to, but you're not going to make it quick.
Yeah,
No, you're not.
I essentially said the same thing you said. A larger bullet going a little slower is going to do more damage.
From here on out,
that's all I said, and you said I was wrong, and then you came and confirmed what I said.
No. I didn't say you were wrong. I say you were just completely off base.
How so?
I've already described it, and I would say to you, go look it up.
No, I know. I was simply saying that a larger bullet going a little slower is going to be more damage than, and you know what, different loads matter too. You could use a semi-jacket at hollow point, it's going to be more damage than a rounded point.
Well, it depends on when you say that, make that claim. I have some familiarization background in weaponry and as a law enforcement person. And the information that I've been taught and trained about is that when the bullet's slower, you could have a fast one, but if it fragments and breaks up and then hit the bone and follows a certain bone to the organs. So when you make these claims, but in the context...
Say that?
No. I'm just telling you overall. I understand. But again,
Well, I was simply trying to tell Polka that even if two bullets were going the same speed, the larger one is going to do more damage. It's just trying to make that
depending point. On what it hit.
Well, an animal, a human, it's called inertia. It's called science.
No, it's called dissipation of energy.
You were talking about a pistol round. They're way slower than rifle rounds.
No, I was talking about all rounds. It's still, you want to have, when a weapon is fired, it, for the purpose of stopping and immobilizing, not wounding and injuring, you don't want it passing through the body.
Yeah, and obviously. Okay.
So
and that's all I was saying,
yeah.
That a 30 caliber AR is going to do more damage because generally a larger bullet goes slower than a smaller bullet, right? So it's going to do more damage. That's all I was saying.
Yeah, but
and you told me I was wrong.
But anyway, there's also you got jacketed hollow points, you got some that flat,
exactly.
And so when you say that, I'm just saying, you know, when it sounded like you were coming off as an expert, and in the context, it was well, I just know and beg the difference.
Well, didn't I just agree with you?
Okay, well, good, thank you. And anything else?
When's the last time you shot a firearm?
Years, man.
Okay, well, they've changed.
You know why? You know why?
They've changed. The loads have changed. Velocities have changed.
Yeah, well, it depends. But I years, and I've just felt I've graduated. I believe that I should learn to get along with people and avoid killing and shooting. And so
hopefully all I ever shoot is paper targets.
Well,
but I don't want to shoot nobody.
I'm just saying that that's, I don't want to be coming off as negative or anti-gun. It's just for me. I graduated, and I believe that violence of any kind should be the last resort. And guns,
I concur.
Guns don't kill people, and I agree with that. And I think that President Obama is wrong as two left shoes. When we have an incident, it's about guns, banning them, and all the liberals that run out there. And I'm a liberal, I think. I think they're misplaced. And so now what? We're going to go and ban all trucks? Because in Nice, we had the trucks, right? So it's something, because in Nice, we had the trucks, right? So it's something, an illness that's prevailing through and finding its way in all of our minds and hearts that we need to deal with.
Something's wrong. And it warms my heart to hear you say that.
Pardon me?
It's very rational.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's this is the world we live in. It could be better. It was better, and now we're standing in front of the wall shooting ourselves.
True. True that, man.
Okay, well, thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments or questions.
I just want to mention.
Hello? Ed, I lost you there. Caller, go ahead with your comment or question.
Hey, that environmental impact guy was pretty good. He said some very deep things about how the bugs, the flies, and he said, how they would, at some point he said, they transmit disease. But I was wondering, do they transmit disease to humans, and what kind of diseases? And then I was wondering, what was the medical impact, the healthcare impact of the transmission of that disease? That's what flashed through my mind when I heard that. Because he didn't mention about the medical healthcare or disease impact to humans, what it would cost for them to get cured of these diseases and what diseases were transmitted. That's
right.
All I was thinking. So if you can comment on that, I would love it here on the radio, okay?
Yeah, that's what he was saying, and he talked about hidden costs. And I'm going to post up on carolcox.com a link to his YouTube talk from Friends of Maha Lepu meeting the other night. And so that may get some clarity. But, you know, just take as an example, the Zika virus, right?
Right.
Goodness. When you say, so what do the flies bring, you know, if it was a tsetse fly in Africa, it would have a bacteria, a germ, or something that affects your eyesight, you know, the worms that are associated with it. So I don't know the pathogens, and there were quite a bit of stuff that presents a problem, and maggots, and you name it.
And I just wonder how to diagnose those. So, like, if you go to a doctor sometime with a symptom, you may not know you contracted something from a bug or an insect, right? So I wonder, how does the medical profession go about analyzing what may how do they do their tests to find out this stuff, because it's very important. You may have something that could easily be cured if they knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
I just see a connection between these impact statements and medicine now. For
right.
the first time, I see there's a connection there.
Yeah, okay.
And I just wondered about that. That's all.
All right, well,
I wish you could have talked more about that.
Well, we'll come up with someone to talk about it. I don't want to make representations that I know not what I'm saying. So,
all right. So thank you very much. Yeah?
Thank you. Aloha. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments.
Hello.
Hello. Honestly, folks, we're not cutting you off. It's something.
No, I hear you loud and clear.
Okay, go ahead. I think I cut you off earlier, too. Go ahead with your comments.
Oh, I just mentioned I have familiarity with the M16 rifle,
mm-hmm.
Being Vietnam vet. The bullet, when it enters the body from an M16, it starts tumbling. It doesn't go straight through, so the damage is really done as when the body, it starts tumbling and goes here to there, and it damages,
mm-hmm.
total damage inside, whereas 45, especially hollow points, it comes in clean and it comes out with a big hole.
Right, and it depends on the bullet and the head and the weight and the amount of grams of powder that you have. And if you're making, I used to, in my younger, dumber days, I used to sit and manufacture bullets for hunting and target practice, so... I just like to stay away from that discussion. Not interested anymore. But it was just certain things. I think I believe that we need to protect people's interests. If they want guns, they should be able to have them. I mean, no one should be standing debating it. You know, it's.
I'm thinking now. If I go to a large function, I think I'm going to wear a bulletproof vest.
No, I'd say we need to just stop screwing with people and figure out something, approach them differently, and maybe we come, you know, we grew into this, right? We evolved in this from something,
well,
so.
it's not getting better. It's getting worse by the day.
Okay, well, thank you. Let me get the other person called in, but call back if you have any more.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Caller, go ahead. Thank you for calling.
Hello?
Yes.
You know, the dairy farmers, the only reason they do not process the manure and try to make it into a dry product to sell to farmers, gardeners, and stuff like that, it cuts into their profit. So the easiest thing to do is just slurry the stuff out on the land and do what they like because it's their land.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they create all these problems, but if they would look at it to satisfy the community, health-wise, the smell, everything else, why don't they just process the manure and make it into a product so they can make some money to get back the money that costs to do all this process? I don't know what percentage they could lose in the profit, but they could sure make a lot of friendly neighbors.
Well, here's what one of the things. Take, for example, our infamous mayors here in this city decided to process human waste, right? And going to sell it to the farmers and the people that grow orchids. And, well, guess what? It don't work. And they are now dumping it and burning it at H-Power. So, that's what you're dealing with, right? Hmm? You've broken up there, Bob. Yeah.
Easy way out to burn it.
Yeah, I think I heard you say easy way out, but you're badly broken there. But call back and get it clear. All right, thank you. Caller, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your comment.
Hey, Carol, I'm a new purchase of a laptop computer, and I'm not computer savvy, so I finally got KWAI 1080 list. It pulled up on the website.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 1080. Can you advise me which one should I?
Yeah, just click on KWAI 1080 AM.com and click on the website, should come up.
Oh yeah, I got. That's what I'm saying. I'm in it right now, and I got about 12 listed 1080s. Listen to it free and so forth. So it doesn't make any difference.
It should make any. I don't have that screen, but if you just go, you can type it in. KWAI.
Oh yeah, I got it.
Okay, and then just scroll through and say, look for Listen to Radio Live.
Listen, okay, I'm going to just go ahead and click the first one then.
Right, click on that, and if not, you have to, I don't have that screen in front of me. But
okay, Carol.
All
I
right.
I just want to make sure that I click the right one, you know.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
And then you can go to carolcox.com if that fails, and then call me back. I can walk you through as I get off it.
carolcox.com also?
Right.
Okay, but this one here is going to pick up for the each program for the... even tonight, tomorrow.
Oh yeah, always. It's 24/7, and so. But you know, go to it both. But go to preferably go to KWAI1080AM.com.
Okay, I got it. I got a bunch of lists. I'm just going to pick them on the first one. So thank you.
Thank you. Aloha.
Listen, I'm just going to pick them on the first one. So thank you.
Thank you. Aloha. So, folks, I wanted to. Couple things that I think is important and might be important for you. The Board of Water Supply, if you live in Village Park or Waipahu, something came to me and then we followed up on it, and I want to say thanks to Board of Water Supply for getting back to me so fast, so quick. And what it involved is that we had heard that approximately 4,500 ratepayers or users of water, houses or homes, whatever you want to call them, this Board of Water Supply meter readers had gone out to those areas and read the meters, and somehow there was a problem with the loading of or misplacement or something. The explanation wasn't clear, but what we had heard is that as a result of this, they couldn't load the information in, so they estimated some 4,000, and to be specifically, after me inquiring of Board of Water Supply, on July 6th, this is their statement, July 6, 2016, Board of Water Supply meter readers obtained a total of 8,240 actual meter readings from the Arroyo Cunio Village Park, Waikele, Waipahu area via automatic meter reading equipment. While the data was being uploaded to the Board of Water Supply's billing system later that day, 4,685 meter readings were not transferred properly into the system. The data was not lost or destroyed. It still exists and is available for the Board of Water Supply to use, so there is no need for staff to reread the meters. However, this oversight was not discovered until after the bills were processed. By then, to ensure these customers received a timely bill, the billing system had automatically issued bills based on estimated readings. The billing period for these customers closed July 11th, 2016. So if you are out in that area and you notice that your bill was a little higher or some problems, then you might want to contact the Board of Water Supply. And that... probably, I suspect that there was more than that they acknowledge here. So it's up to you, and you might want to call. I've contacted Ron Menor to ask him questions, so we'll see. Caller, thank you for calling. Your comments or questions? Hello?
Hello, Carol. Good morning.
Yes.
I was calling. Thank you for having Dr. Kilpatrick on the show.
Hi, Bridget. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to answer that one caller's question, if I may.
You wait. That means you were listening to the Carol Cox Show.
I was.
Wow.
That's a great show.
Okay, go ahead.
They asked about the diseases that can be communicated to people, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And they are referred to as zoonotic, Z-O-O-N-O-T-I-C diseases. And on our website, Friends of Mahaulepu, M-A-H-A-U-L-E-P-U, friendsofmahaulepu.org, there is an article about zoonotic diseases, and basically some of the more serious ailments are what they've studied recently in Texas, and that's the particulate matter that comes in the air when the trade winds blow across the site, it'll pick up the newer particles from the surface of the farm, and it'll be aerosolized. It can also pick up particles from the effluent ponds. When it picks up moisture, it can get particulate matter that way as well. And then it carries it in the trade winds, and people breathe it in, and their respiratory tract can then infect them with several serious diseases. In Texas, when they did a recent study at the end of 2015 to determine what is contained in the air coming from dairies, they studied 10 dairies. You know, they wanted to know what's in there besides the odor. They actually cultured out and found some super bacteria like MRSA, methicillin-resistant Staph aureus.
Mm-hmm.
So there are actually serious health risks associated with a mega operation like the one proposed for Kauai.
Right, and there are hormones and chemicals and that are associated with that also, and antibiotics.
Yes, we just had a wonderful letter from a local veterinarian on island, Dr. Bosco, who's a holistic veterinarian, and he said, has anybody considered the hormonal impact, which is just natural hormones because of their lactating condition, their very high hormone level as part of their milk production. He said, does anybody consider the hormone impact on the
fish,
ocean life?
On the fish and other species?
Yes, he said it will impact their reproduction. It'll impact their offspring.
Mm-hmm.
It'll have a tremendous ripple effect. And the dairy now admits that all of that farm drainage goes into the Waiopili ditch, which becomes the Waiopili stream, which courses over across the sands at Mahalapu and into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So for all the creatures living in the ocean, they are going to get whatever washes off that farm with just normal stream flow that collects from the farm,
yeah.
Irrigation, everyday watering, and then any of our occasional rainstorms that are huge or regular rainstorms.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, yep, that'll all get carried into the sea, and I had to tell Dr. Bosco, no, actually, the draft EIS did not consider the impact on marine life at all. They did not consider the coral, and they did not address even the endangered species
now,
that are in the ocean there.
Now, we played the commercial back, the PSA. When is the draft environmental impact deadline, and are you still looking for support and comments?
Absolutely.
Where do they write, and what's the deadline?
Well, on our website, friendsofmahalapu.org, right on the opening page, there's a header entitled Breaking News, and it has a link you can click on to get to the draft EIS, and the link right below it for the addresses to send your comments to. And anyone can comment, even those who may not have commented before. All comments have to be postmarked by July 25th, 1 week from Monday. All comments are due. And we encourage any supporters and listeners to weigh in and comment. They have to address every comment made. And I think big deficiencies like not considering the coral reef, that's huge. I mean, that stopped a project at Uluwalu when they didn't consider the marine life. So we need a lot of people to weigh in, Carol.
Okay, well, we'll advertise it some more, and thank you for linking me up with Dr. Kilpatrick.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you very much.
And we'll talk soon. And if you get anybody else, that please send them our way. We're waiting to learn something.
All right, I appreciate it.
Thank you. Aloha.
All right. Aloha.
I had a call waiting, but apparently lost him, but we do apologize for this off and on. So if you want to call, you can call back in the next minute or so. But we'll be talking next week about the city. The city bought a new fuel truck for its environmental services. They're going to be storing fuel, but they don't have a driver for it. You need, you know, so we're going to be talking about that and some other things. And we're going to be, what we're trying to do, we're getting, I told you earlier about information of one of the higher-ups in the emergency services. We're getting a number of calls and comments suggesting and claims and allegations that there's drug use at that level. And we're trying to ask those questions. But we'll see if Mayor Caldwell is willing to speak to these things. And we sent them a list of questions, and we got blown off. So it would be embarrassing and wrong and just horrendous if this proved to be true. And again, they're just allegations, but they seem to be drifting our way and people calling up and telling us things that raises concern. So we want to know. Caller, real quick, go ahead with your comment or question.
Yeah, did she say zoonotics?
Zoonotics.
Zoonotics.
Yeah, zoonotics.
I was hoping I could ask her what kind of clinics or doctors specialize in, or not specialize, but how do you get medical treatment or test to find out if that's going on in your body.
Well, if you feel that you're sickened by something, then go to your general practitioner or go to the emergency room, and then from there, exploratory and sampling and testing. But to sit and just say what kind, it would be like prescribing medicine, and or you go to the internet and people start reading and they've got every disease in the world. So I'll try and ask Dr. Sarah Parks, because remember, no matter what's found over there, and people could be dropping like flies, but the way the health department treat everything, they'll lie to you and hold information and trickle it out when they feel it's convenient to make themselves look good. So I caution you there to not to put so much trust in what they say. It's the thing is, what's available to monitor this, and I got to run.
So, okay, thank
all right,
you.
Thank you. Thanks for joining in. Aloha.
Welcome.
Through the maze of the madness, struggle is my address with pain and crack lips. Gunshots coming from sounds of blackness. Given this game with no time to practice, born on the blacklist. Told I'm below average, a life with no cabbage. That's no money if you from where I'm from. Funny, I just want some of your son. Dark clouds seem to follow me. Alcohol that my pop swallowed bottle me. No apology, I walk with a bold on my shoulder. It's the Cold War, I'm a colder soldier. Hold the same fight that made Martin Luther the king. I ain't using it for the right thing. In between lean and the fiends, hustle and the schemes, I put together pieces of a dream. I still have one.
I got a dream.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.